Mark chapter number 4, I want us to look at verse 35, starting at verse 35, very, very familiar scripture, and I don't know how long I'll be before you. I just had this thought working in my heart, and we'll just give it to you and trust God to bless it. Amen. Verse 35, "And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side." What that really means is what we just heard sung, we're going to make it. Why? Because the Lord said we would. That's right. "Let us pass over," and I like that word "us." I'm glad Jesus has included and attached himself to whether we make it or not. If I don't make it, he don't make it, and Jesus is not going under. Thank God. Jesus is not going to go under, because if he don't make it, that would make him a liar. And Jesus will never lie. He said, "Let us pass over unto the other side." Verse 36. "And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Now that was the flesh speaking. That was unbelief speaking. That was not faith speaking. Amen. Nobody would ever question the care of the master. But no, the flesh will. The flesh will tell you, God don't love you. You know, he would have stopped this, or he wouldn't allow that, you know, this storm to come in your life if he really cared. Well, he may allow a storm to come in your life to prove that he cares, to show that he cares. Amen. Because what good is peace if you don't know anything about a storm? That's right. What good is sunshine if you don't know anything about darkness? So God allows the negative to come to set the stage for a positive. And so anyway, verse 39, "And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" Verse number 41, "And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Isn't that amazing? God shows right in verse 41 that obedience brings recognition to the Savior. In this case, it was the winds and the waves and the seas that were obeying him, but it caused men to stand in awe, in observation of obedience, as it magnified the power of the Lord. So if that's true with the sea and that's true with the wind, how much more would it be true for us if we're obeying the Lord as believers, as children of God? Would that not bring magnification to him? Would that bring honor to him? Amen. Wouldn't people say, "Oh, what a Savior," because they're looking at your obedience and mine? Let's bow for a moment of prayer and you can be seated. Father, we come in Jesus' name. Lord, this morning, I want to thank you, Lord, for helping us already in the service. And Lord, I needed it. I really do. And I don't know, there's never been a time, Lord, that I've come to church that I didn't need something, that I didn't need to hear from you. Lord, that I didn't need some correction, some rebuke, Lord, some exhorting, whatever, Lord. And I'm glad that I know this morning that you know what I need. And Lord, I want you to give me, Lord, what I need this morning. I want this service to affect my life. I want to be different when I get in my car this morning than I did when I come. Lord, I pray you speak to us today. Bring to my attention, Lord, everything, God, that I need to see, and everything, Lord, that I need to say. And help me, Lord, to be mindful of the of discernment of the Holy Spirit, what you would have for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You be seated. If your world this morning consists of materialism, that I'm afraid you are headed for some dark days of depression up ahead. That's a good exhorting comment, isn't it? If your world consists of material things, in other words, your joy, your happiness, everything consists of things, consists of possessions, materialism. If your world is financial, your whole world is hinges on a paycheck. Your whole world, then if that's the case, I'm afraid that there's days of darkness coming in this country. In fact, that a lot of the financial experts project a 100% collapse of the American dollar even at the end of this month. If that were to happen, how many people's world would collapse? How many people's world would fold? How many people's dreams, how many people's smile would be gone? And amen. And listen, but if your world is spiritual, if your world is spiritual, that is, you're operating with faith, you're operating with your focus upon the Lord. And I was thinking about this yesterday as well. I wasn't making the parallel to this message at the time, but I was in the woods yesterday morning, Brother J.R., and the sun come up, you know, and things started livening up, and birds chirping, and squirrels climbing trees, and deer coming through, and turkeys did not come through, and all of that sort of thing. But you know what? I was just looking, and you know, I was by myself, and I thought, Squirrel, don't you know that our economy's headed for a bad deal, and the dollar may be crashing this month, and why? It don't affect them. Why? Their world is not material. Their world is not political. Their world is not financial. Amen. If the stock market crashes, they're going to keep eating nuts. That's right. Birds going to keep eating worms. They're going to keep flying through the air. Fish going to keep swimming in the stream. Amen. Everything's going to... But us, if we're not careful, we get attached to this world, too attached to this world, meaning we're too dependent upon this world. And I'm afraid that a lot of people in church are not getting prepared spiritually to handle some darkness and some difficulties that are coming. I know the Bible's very plain on things like that. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Not might come, shall come. And we're seeing those things unfold. We've heard the scripture that deals with Noah. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. We hear that all the time. We've heard that for years. And it's unfolding right in front of our very eyes. We're seeing it right in front of our very eyes. But yet it doesn't stir the believer in relation to the coming of the Lord. We've heard the scripture that deals with Lot. As it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be also in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. What was the predominant ruling sin of his day? Not the only sin, but a prevalent sin was that of sodomy. That's the term. They're called sodomites. And that directly, and they hate that term because that links them to Sodom. And when you look at Sodom, you see the wrath and judgment of God poured out upon that wickedness. And we're seeing those things unfold right in front of our very eyes. We're seeing things legalized today that we never thought that we would ever see in our lifetime. We're seeing things condoned. We're seeing things that is right and upheld. We're seeing it pushed into the closet while wickedness is coming out of the closet, so to speak. Amen. We're seeing our government come against us and is very, very blatant about that. They're unashamed about that. Amen. You and I that are Bible believers, we're the weirdos. Amen. Listen now. We're the weirdos and we're the one. We're the problem. Amen. We're those staunch Baptists, you know. Hey, well, I don't see how you can be a Bible believer and follow Christ and not have some of that in you. Amen. That's the truth, isn't it? But anyway, as I was thinking about those things and the potential that's coming, even prophetically announced that's coming in this country and in our world. And I'm afraid that we're so, our foundation of our world is material and financial and social and physical and fleshly and carnal and things of that nature. And when those things change, I mean, can you imagine what would happen? I had a fellow to tell me, I didn't hear it myself, but he was telling me yesterday about the administration presently has led and has already approved, I didn't even know nothing about it. They didn't ask me. They didn't call and ask me if it was all right. But they've already made approval. They've already made the ruling on it that banks, if there is a collapse in these big financial federal heads, the big banks, that they have the right and authority without asking and without payback, go into the very people's money in their banks and use that money to bail themselves out and don't ever have to pay that back. Now, I want to tell you right now, that'd make me mad if they got all $50 that I got. Amen. But, I mean, that just shows you the corruption of our government, buddy. You think they care about you? They don't care about you. They care about your money and your taxes and all of that. That's crooked. That's criminal right there. To take somebody else's money without at least a promise of a payback. But listen, I don't know all that, and I get depressed even thinking about all that stuff. But if my world is not spiritual, if my life is not governed by the avenue of faith and the principles of faith, then we're all headed for discouragement and depression. And here, I want to deal with this, and I preach from this scripture here numerous times, various angles, but I've never seen this right here. I always stop and don't look at, I've never seen it. It's the reason I never dealt with it. Look, if you will, in verse 37. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves, look at this, beat, here's the key word for this morning, into the ship, so that it was now full. That was literal, wasn't it? That wasn't just an exaggeration. That was literal. The waves beat into the ship that it was now full. And look what it says about Jesus in verse 38. He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. They come, they wake him up. Carest thou not that we perish? He arose, verse 39, rebukes the wind and says to the sea, peace be still, and the wind ceased. And look at this, there was a great calm. And we get focused on that great calm and that great demonstration of power of the Savior. But I missed something, Brother J.R. I read it just now, and you heard it. But we get to the end, and the end is so fabulous and miraculous and supernatural that we forgot about the other. Look, and here's what it is. Some of you are wondering where I'm going. And look at it right here. There was a great calm in verse 39. There was a great calm. There was peace. The winds and the waves laid down like a little puppy dog at the master's feet. I mean, obeyed him, right? Well, look. Hey, wait a minute, let's back up. There's something still in the scriptures here. Verse 37. The winds or the waves beat into the ship. I want to deal with this. The storm is still on the outside of the ship. But the storm is still inside the ship. Same word, but making a play on it. The storm is still on the outside of the ship, meaning it's calm. But verse 37 shows us that storm was still inside the ship. The great calm, Brother Brad, there was a great calm. Amen. But guess what? Verse 37 still clearly states that that ship on the inside was filled with the waves that had beat into the ship. Amen. How many of us in this service have come through and survived storms in our life? And we're thankful for the calm that's out on the outside. And we're thankful for the calm that's on the around us. But what about in us? What about the aftermath? What about the after effects of the storm that must be dealt with? Listen, that water was still in the ship. It was calm on the outside, but that water, verse 37, did not disappear with a calm that came in verse 39. How many people's like that? You, inside, you still got the aftermath, after effects of a storm that you've been through. That storm on the outside, that storm around them originally was the threat. It was looked like what was going to take them under. I mean, listen, we're talking about a hurricane-type storm. Amen. Listen, Matthew's account talks about the waves literally. In Matthew 8:24, listen, it says, "Behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves." Covered. That word covered means to completely veil. You couldn't see the ship for the waves. And our verse in Mark says that the ship was now full. Luke chapter number 8 account of this says that the ship was filled with water. And that word, listen, that word full and that word filled, Brother Mark dealt with it this morning, John chapter 2. When Jesus told them to fill the water pots with water and they filled them to the brim. Meaning that those water pots were so filled that you could not put anything else in it. Same word was used right here to describe that this ship was filled with the waves, was filled with the water from the waves that had covered the ship and had, in our text, beat into the ship. That water's got to get out of that ship. Jesus handled the water on the outside of the ship. Jesus handled the calming of the sea. But what happened to the storm that is still inside the ship? My goodness, this may be so simple that we may have missed it, but how many times you go through a storm and what really causes you continual problems is what's got on the inside of you. Bitterness and unforgiveness and ill will. Listen, you'd be surprised how many church folk is bitter at God. They're mad at God. I've had some to get right with God in some revivals this year that stood up and confessed how that they for years had been mad at God because of a tragedy or because of something that happened that they thought, and one lady told me that God has done me wrong. God, I prayed about this and God did not answer prayer. God did not prevent it. God allowed it. I mean, told me that in the altar. She said, "I've been mad at God, out of church." You get crossed up with God, you're not going to be too interested in staying faithful to church and staying in the Word of God and praying and so forth. But there is the storm that is still inside the ship. That word filled, full, or the ship was full, so that it was now full, has the idea to feel entirely. Well, the devil knows if he can't get you with an outward storm, he'll just get you with the inward storm. He'll get you with the inward, almost feel like drowning from the inside. Do you realize there was enough water inside that ship to drown them? Sometimes we overlook that. Sometimes we play that off, you know. We think it's the external. But sometimes, and a lot of times, more times than not, it's the internal. It's the storm on the inside that's suffocating most, that's draining most, that's drowning most. Amen. That's right. Well, hallelujah, that's right. But listen, verse number 38, they asked the question, carest thou not that we perish? They were thinking about the stormy winds on the outside and the waves. I don't know how high a wave of that day had to have been to have covered that ship. I don't know how big the ship was. I imagine it was pretty good size, but you can imagine what kind of wave would be tall enough to completely veil that ship, completely hide that ship, where people lose sight of that ship. And it beat into that ship in our text passage, verse 37. That word beat there means to throw down, throw upon, violently and intense with force. The storm cares not about your feelings. That word beat means to fall or to let go of a thing without caring where it falls or the repercussions of it. Amen. So what we're dealing with this morning is, and listen, I thought about this. They didn't choose the storm that was on the outside. They didn't choose the storm on the outside and the effects of it. But now they did choose the storm on the inside, what they were going to do with it, if they were going to tolerate it, if they were going to allow it. That, listen, they didn't have bilge pumps back then. Boats now, ships now, have a means of pumping water out that gets in. They didn't have those things back in those days. Probably all they had was some buckets. Amen. And you know what? Though the storm was still and calm on the outside, yet there was water still yet on the inside. The storm was still on the inside. But you know what? Listen, this is good. And storms are a reality. I mean, you're just not going to escape it. Storms are a reality in your life. There's going to be different kinds of storms that's going to come in your life. Listen, they were in the will of God. These people, Brother J.R., was in the ship that Jesus told them to get in. They were going in the direction Jesus told them to go in. And He Himself was on board, and yet a storm came. A lot of times people think, so, well, a storm means I'm out of the will of God. No, a storm may mean you're in the will of God. A storm may be meaning you're in the will of God. Amen. And so they didn't choose the storm outwardly, but they did choose with how they dealt with the storm inwardly. Amen. And there's people defeated today off of things they went through and encountered years ago. I'm talking about years ago. Some, listen, and I've dealt with some over the years. I've dealt with some adults. I'm talking about grown-ups that are struggling with things that happened in their childhood. Amen. I've dealt with some over the years, even in Rogersville, that I'm talking about grown, older than me even, in some cases, that when they were little were molested. I'm going to tell you right now, that's a sorry, low-down, good-for-nothing adult, grandparent, daddy, mama, whatever, uncle that would mess around with a little baby, a little child, as sorry than dirt. Amen. That's exactly right. And it does something to them. Amen. Amen, that's right. And that probably needs to be preached on. That probably needs to be preached on because the Bible deals with incest and deals with things of that nature. Amen. That's right. Parents, you need to teach your children about improper touching of other people in their lives. Amen. And of course, amen. And be sure to tell them as well, listen, that they can talk to you or they need to tell somebody. That's right. That's right. I mean, that's sorry, buddy. That's right. Take advantage of a little one. But anyway, I don't know how I got on all that. But I'm talking about dealing with the inside storms now that come from the outside storm that's already over. It's already passed. It's already gone. Amen. But the inside, you're still dealing with that water on the inside. Well, let me just tell you something else that's still on the inside. I mean, the storm's on the inside. The water's still on the inside. But I want to tell you what, Jesus is still there. His presence is inside the ship. Listen, Jesus can help you deal with the ramifications and the repercussions of a past storm in your life that had beat its way into your life. You didn't ask for it. You didn't invite it. It, with force, beat itself into your life, and you're having to deal with the water and the floodwaters on the inside, the storm waters on the inside. Yes, sir. That's right. His presence is on the inside. And that ought to speak volume. That ought to speak volumes to you. Thank God you've got Jesus on board. Amen. Now, he could have just spoke. It doesn't say that they grabbed a bucket. It didn't tell us how that they got rid of the water that was on the inside. Jesus could have just spoke and said, you know, hey, wind and waves on the outside, be calm, and water on the inside, be gone. He could have done that. It don't say he did that. It could be that those people, those on board, because of their unbelief, was going to have to deal with that hands on. Grab a bucket and start bailing water. Amen. But you'll never grab a bucket and start bailing water as long as you're okay with that bitterness in you and that ill will in you and that unforgiveness inside you that's literally suffocating you spiritually and drowning you spiritually. His presence was in the ship. That's right. Jesus displayed the spirit nature while the disciples displayed the flesh nature. When the storm hit, the disciples did what? They did what we a lot of times do. They fell all to pieces. Oh, what are we going to do? You know, even questioning the Lord. Carest thou not that we perish? But Jesus demonstrates the spirit nature. What was he doing while the storm was raging? He was asleep. He was resting. Thank God. Amen. The spirit nature inside of the believer, listen, remains calm and has a rest that they can enjoy. No matter what's going on external. But they had his presence. They still had his presence. He was involved in their situation. He was involved. He was not only involved in their situation, he was included in their situation. Oh, yeah. That storm affected the ship he was on. But he wasn't worried. No. But look at this. Listen, they shared his presence. They were sustained by his promise, and they realized the storm was probably sent by providence. They realized the storm had a divine purpose. Listen, Jesus, when he said, let us go into the other side, he knew that storm was coming. He knew all. He don't have to see it to know it. He don't have to be told it to know it. He knows these things, and he knew that storm was coming, and he knew their response to it. He knew all of that. And oh, God will allow sometimes providential storms to come in our life to reveal some weaknesses of our in us spiritually that we need to address and that we need to deal with. And so, listen, his power was involved in that. He had an unseen power. Do you realize that when you think of that, that whole situation right there in Mark chapter 4, that was not natural for that boat to still be floating? It's not natural. Remember, I preached that here on floating while full. That's not normal. It's normal for a boat to float when the sea is outside the ship, but when the sea gets inside the ship, it really means you're going under. But this ship didn't go under. Why? Because on board was the Savior. On board was his presence and his power. Amen. Yeah, what should have happened, God says it didn't happen. Many of you have already been through some things, and I've been through some things in my life that looking at it from just an observant, you would think, how are you still going? How are you still going on? Amen. How are you still making it? But instead, look at you. You're still here. You're still sailing on. You're still floating. You're still going. Amen. Why? Because Jesus. Jesus is greater than your storm. He's greater than the struggles. And I'm glad of that. So we have his presence still yet on board or involved in this. We have his power still involved. And also we have his purpose still involved. Thank God Jesus had a purpose when he got on board that ship. You know what that purpose was? Of course, it was manifold. It was manifold purpose. One was to deal with the disciples and speak to them and uncover their unbelief and deal with them about some spiritual flaws in their life, and he rebuked them for that. But also in chapter 5 in verse 1, you find there was also another purpose. When they sail through that storm, come to their destination, chapter 5, verse 1, and they came over unto the other side into the country of the Gadarenes. Now we know who was over there, the demoniac of Gadara. And he was on the hillside there in the living among the tombs. And you know what? It's very likely from where he was at and where the ship was at, it's very likely that that demoniac witnessed that whole situation. And that demoniac had a storm raging in his life, didn't he? Couldn't be tamed, couldn't be controlled by man. You know, there was no hope for him. Looked like he was going under in spite of everything. Looked like he was going to hell in spite of everything. But Jesus allowed that to be a demonstration to him. I can calm the raging storm on the outside of you. I can calm the raging storm on the inside of you. Amen. His purpose was involved. Amen. Thank God. I'm glad he's got a purpose. I'm glad I've got his presence. I'm glad I have access to his power. I'm glad Jesus can handle my storms when I can't handle them. When they're too big for me, I'm glad I can lean on him. Amen. And so we not only have his power and his presence and his purpose, but we have his plan. No. I'm going to deal with this one and last. We have his pillow. His pillow's inside. Now, what does that mean? Pillow preacher? That is an emblem of rest. And that's it. Amen? The Bible said he was asleep on the pillow. You know what that was showing the disciples? If you'll trust God and walk by faith instead of what you're hearing and feeling and seeing, he's telling you that you can enjoy that rest as well. Did not Jesus say in Matthew chapter number 11, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And here's what he said, and he's the only one who has the authority to say it. He said, and I'll give you rest. Rest. I'll give you peace. I'll give you rest. And no matter what comes in our world, no matter what happens, I'm glad Jesus Christ is superior to what comes in our life. But how are you dealing with the storm on the inside that's still on the inside? What efforts are you making this morning? What efforts am I making this morning to try to get that out? Get those things out that needs to be out. What efforts? Well, you may feel justified. Well, preacher, I mean, after all, look at how big those waves were and look. You know, and try to justify. Of course we're going to have water on the inside of the ship. Of course the storm is going to be on the inside, and justify it. How many people I've met in my ministry, and some of late, have tried to justify their attitudes and try to justify their unfaithfulness and try to justify their lack of spirituality. Why? Well, preacher, look what I've been through. Look at how I was treated. Look at what they said about me. Look at what they done to me. Look at this and look at that. And they try to justify the storm that's still on the inside of them. May God help you today. May God help me to deal. Let God deal with the storm outside of me. Trust him to deal with the storms outside of me. But yet, at the same time, Brother Mark, I want to feel responsible to deal with the storm that's still inside of me. It's amen. I want to deal with the storm that's inside of me. I want to get a bucket. I want to recognize. Now that's not normal. That's just not normal to have the storm inside me. And recognize that. Confess that. You know, some of you need to get an altar and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I've been harboring this. I've been justifying it. I've got this going on in my life. And you know, you may blame this one. You may blame that one. Somebody in your life. Amen. You may be blaming them. But look, if the storm is inside you, then you need to deal with that. The storm was calm on the outside, but the storm was still on the inside, and they had to deal with it. And I trust you'll want to deal with it this morning. Amen. Don't tolerate it. Don't say, well, that's just the way it is. No. I know what it is. Years ago, and I'll not tell you much about this, but years ago, me and my brother-in-law was, we was fishing in South Carolina, and a boat hit us. I mean, it was their fault, 100%. They weren't even looking where they were going and hit us. I tried to get away from them. Before. I seen them coming, and I was trying to get away from them, and they turned, and I was away from them. I was out of their path. But when they turned around and saw me, it startled them. Even though I was out of their path, they turned right into me. And I mean ripped a big hole right in the boat, and we were taking on water, knocked my brother-in-law out of the boat. He swims like a rock. Thankfully, he had a life jacket on. Amen, Brother Sam, we'll get you a big life jacket. When all else fails, grab a hold of Brother Brad and tell him to swim for it, amen. But I'm talking about taking on water. And I mean, we weren't even close to land. And I mean, I knew we were sinking fast. I mean, listen, and you know what? I thought, man, I need to get to the bank quick. And so what I did, because I knew this is not good. I didn't even have to open a book and study on it. This is not good. What's outside this boat is getting inside this boat. And we're going under. And our only way of surviving that, as far as not just completely going under, was that I throwed full throttle to it, and it was already full. I mean, it was done so full of water, it wasn't even hardly, it went, stood straight up. And I went from there all the way to the landing with the nose of that thing sticking straight up. Whoa, because it was so full of water. But what allowed me to make it, Brother J.R., was when I throwed the throttle to it, it brought the hole up above the water line. So all I had to deal with was what water was in the ship. You know what? I'd come to the place, Brother McCarricker, I said, I don't want no more of this water in the ship. This is not going to be a good outcome. I don't want no more. That's why I fought it. I could have just given in. I could have just put on a life jacket and jumped over and say, adios, bumblebee. That's what kind of boat it was. Been nice knowing you, and thankful for all the fish I've caught, both of them, off of you. And, you know, I could have done that and watched it go blue, 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 blue down and say, well, start looking at the classifieds, try to find something else. But I didn't. You know what? You know what I did? Got it to the landing. Got it to the landing. And with a lot of effort, got it on the trailer. And you know what? Pulled the plug. Every bit of that water drained out. All that was really about to sink me. I said, I don't want that water in there. Pulled the plug and let it got it out. And the fellow that hit me repaired my boat. And you know what? I was back out there fishing. I was back out there fishing again in that same boat that I had all that mess happen to. Got the water out, repaired the holes. I don't know what kind of damage done to this ship. It said it beat into the ship, probably some structural damage. But they repaired it and went right on and reached their destination. And the demoniac of Gadara got saved as because of that. Amen. Praise God. I'm here today. Listen, because I wouldn't let the water stay in from the past storms. I know some people look at Preacher Rank and they think, Preacher, man, you've had it easy. Listen, I can't tell you everything I've went through in life. And I deal with that sometimes when I go preach revivals. Your pastor can't disclose everything that he knows. He can't tell you everything that he knows about every situation. There's some things that he has to just, you know, one in Georgia told me, of course I knew his situation thoroughly and you know, a lot of it, he called me a lot and I tried to give him advice, but he could not reveal to his church the truth about a situation in his church. And there was people left him over that. Because there were some things there that was of an illegal matter that was being dealt with, and he couldn't tell his church. Not concerning him, but concerning an issue in the church. But I'm glad I've got the water out. I want to keep the water out. The storm is still on the outside. I'm thankful for the calm. But sometimes the storm is still on the inside, and that's what we need to deal with. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. And Lord, just a simple thought that, Lord, you spoke to my heart about. And I pray, dear Lord, that you will speak to my heart and speak to those in our church. And Lord, I don't know what storms that might be raging, Lord, in people's lives. I don't know. I don't know what they've been through. They may have already been a spiritual survivor. They've already made it through, and they look back at that storm, and it's definitely in their past. It's definitely back there somewhere, and they've already come through that, and they're sailing on. But on the inside, there's still some evidence of that storm. On the inside, there's still some water that needs to be got out. And I pray that you'll help each person to be responsible, to grab a pail, a bucket, and start bailing water. Make repairs that's necessary. And Lord, I ask your will to be done. And Lord, I don't know what we're going to face in the future. But Lord, help me, I pray, to seek to get the water out of the storm inside of me. Inside of my home, in my life, inside of my ministry. Lord, help me to get the water out. May your will be done this morning. And I know the message may not have been for everybody at this very particular moment, but it might be just for that one. Lord, it might be for that one family. It might be for that one person. I don't know. I receive it myself this morning. I want to be thankful for the calm outside. I want to thank you for the days of peace and times of peace. I want to thank you for that. But I also want to thank you. I want to thank you that you're still on board. Lord, I want to thank you that you don't bail out when the storm hits. Lord, I want to thank you for that. Lord, we'd all be in a mess if you did that. Because you're really the only one that can keep us afloat when the storms of life rage. And Lord, I ask you, dear God, that you would take the simple message this morning, but very practical. And Lord, I've seen it very personal in my own life. I pray your will to be done, this invitation.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.